Listen to the best of the church's music for the Epiphany season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
In Luke's gospel, there's a lot of, we're told a lot about Jesus' birth. We're told a little bit about his childhood. The earliest recollection after his birth that we have is of the so-called presentation of Jesus in Luke chapter 2. He's brought there to the temple in observance of the law. That is, in not only to fulfill the law, that is, in its broadest sense, he is, after all, the author and the fulfiller of the law, but also to observe the law, that is, to be obedient unto the law. We're going to talk about the presentation of Jesus for the remaining minutes of Issues Etc. on this Tuesday afternoon. Pastor Tom Baker joins us. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back to Issues Etc.
No, thank you, Todd.
Mutual colleague of ours and a frequent guest on the program, Dr. Jeff Gibbs, once pointed out to me, he says, we need to remember, and this is important for understanding Jesus' ministry in its proper context, that Jesus is, from the very beginning to the end of his life, a, as he put it, a perfectly observant Old Testament Jew. That seems to play in here, already early in Jesus' life.
Yes, there are three times that this occurs. The first one occurs prior to our text, with verse 21. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And if you go to Genesis chapter 17, verse 12, that is when he who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised, every male child in your dedications. But then when we begin our text, it says, and when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses. Now, I kind of find that interesting because the ESV and the NAS, they say their purification, but the King James and the NIV and the New King James says her purification. Now, the proper Greek there is a plural, so their purification. That means there were two events going on. The one was in regard to Jesus, that at 40 days old, he is to be consecrated to the Lord. And the other one is in regard to the mother, who at 33 days after the circumcision is to also have a purification. So you've got three ceremonial laws going on, and that purification for the mother is found in Leviticus chapter 12. And there it talks about that if she bears a male child, she shall continue in the blood of her purification 33 days, and she's not even allowed into the temple until this occurs. So you've got three ceremonial laws that Jesus was presented under, and he obeyed all three. In that sense, therefore, the professor is correct that Jesus obeyed the ceremonial laws of the Old Testament during his time here on earth.
So what we're finding here is Jesus both as the author and even as an infant, the fulfiller of that same law.
Yes, and in fact, that would be the theme here for this particular passage, that Jesus, who authored these, also fulfilled them. The laws that he broke were really laws actually part of the ceremonial laws of the Old Testament. And Jesus, of course, allowed them to be broken because they weren't in sync with God's word. For example, when he healed a man who had to carry his bed on the Sabbath, that really wasn't part of the true biblical ceremonial laws. And in that sense, Jesus was overcome Judaism, but he was not going contrary to the ceremonial laws as found in the Old Testament books.
So this is something very important, just in a general sense, for understanding Jesus' entire ministry. Although he is accused constantly, in particular, of breaking the Sabbath, it's one of the only particular laws he's accused of breaking other than blasphemy. He
right.
never breaks the Sabbath.
No, he never truly breaks it. He's Lord of the Sabbath. Remember there's that one time when they have to give a temple tax, and he had them fish, and they brought up a fish with a coin in the mouth of the coin. So he fulfilled all of the proper laws as given by God in the Old Testament, and in that way we can truly say that he was sinless.
Now, in this Luke passage here, they come to, in fulfillment of the law, to redeem him. He's the firstborn. And so a sacrifice is given on his behalf. And that seems kind of odd to us because he is the sacrifice. Of course, there is a fulfillment of the law going on here. What else is going on here?
Well, they are to bring either a lamb of the first year as a burnt offering or a young pigeon or a turtle dove as a sin offering to the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And that will make atonement for Mary. Now, what that means is because they gave not a lamb, but they gave a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons, this gives us the impression that Mary and Joseph in and of themselves were not that wealthy because they gave a less expensive gift, even though it was appropriate. So it says something about that Jesus, though he were rich, became poor for us. And it means poor not only in setting aside his divine authority, his divine attributes, but also he was not that wealthy a person. Remember, he had no place to sleep his head. And so much of what he had received were from others who were more wealthy than he was, who took care of him.
When we come back from this break, we're going to talk about those who were also in the temple that day, in particular, the elderly Simeon and Anna as well, and what they had to say about this child, Jesus Christ, at his presentation. We are teaching a Sunday school lesson on this Tuesday afternoon. Pastor Tom Baker of Long Gospel is our guest. We're in Luke chapter 2, the presentation of Jesus.
Was it, everybody? It was Jesus. It was Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Are you tired of working out at big box gyms? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. You can even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Find out more at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. Performancefitness618.com.
Our cities are some of the greatest mission fields on the planet, but the footprint of the church is shrinking. We dare not shrink from our cities. Christ is needed now in our urban areas. From chaos, turmoil, decay, death, and destruction, Jesus brings peace, hope, resurrection, eternal life, and rebuilding. And you can help by being a hero for the city. Find out how at lcms.org/citymission or on Facebook at LCMS City Mission. Every city needs a hero. Capes and helmets not required.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300 Augsburg Lutheran, Shawnee, Kansas, Peace Lutheran, Fresno, California, Trinity Lutheran, Casper, Wyoming, Memorial Lutheran, Houston, Texas, Trinity Lutheran, Gillette, Wyoming, Our Savior Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California, St. Mary's Lutheran, Des Moines, Iowa, Redeemer Lutheran, Kakabeka Falls, Ontario, Canada, St. Jacoby Lutheran, Shawano, Wisconsin, and St. John's Lutheran, North Prairie, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300. That's the traditional form of the Nunc Dimittis, that is Simeon's song, with the Gloria Patri, the traditional Gloria Patri at the end there, taken from Luke chapter 2, verses 29 through 32. The passage that is our attention as we talk with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel, looking at a Sunday school lesson, the presentation of Jesus in Luke chapter 2. Let's talk a little bit about that Simeon and his song. What would you have to say, Tom?
The first thing is that in verse 25, it says he is waiting for the consolation of Israel. Now, a theologian is a kind of detective. I've been talking about that on my own program. And we have to discern, what does he mean by that? Part of the problem with the Greek and the Hebrew is that there are a number of English words that can be used. This word consolation actually is paraklesis, where we get the word paraclete. And normally we think of that as the Holy Spirit. For example, in John 14, but the helper, see, that's another translation, the paraclete, the Holy Spirit whom the Father will send in my name. But then you look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, I am writing these things to you so you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So, this word advocate is also another translation for the word paraclete. So, both Jesus is our comforter, and then he sends another comforter, the Holy Spirit, which we receive at Pentecost. And the Holy Spirit is really important here because we find out that the fact of the matter is Simeon have been told by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he saw the Lord's Christ. So that was a vision, maybe by a dream or however, and he was therefore in the temple waiting to see the Lord's Christ, the word Christ meaning Messiah in the Greek. And when he did, then he said what we have often considered as the Nunc Dimittis. Those are Latin words, and they're used because they're the beginning of his song. Nunc, now, and Dimittis, let me depart, let me leave. And so that's why we call it that. It occurs three times in the worship service. a number of times. It occurs, of course, after the Lord's Supper. It occurs also in what we have, what's called the late service. It's called compline. And then it also occurs a third time in the worship service as comforter. And so it's a very important item for people to understand.
He also says something else. He makes a prediction about Jesus to his parents. And he says there, "Behold, this child is anointed or appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, a sign that is opposed, and a sword shall pierce your own soul too, so the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." What is Simeon saying there of Jesus?
He's actually quoting the Old Testament, which indicates that when the Messiah comes, the hearts of many will be revealed as to whether or not they believe in him or do not believe in him. It's in the context where it's like a stone will fall upon them if they do not believe. And what he is saying is that Jesus will be for the fall and rising of many in Israel. Fall, meaning going into unbelief, rising into faith. And also, a sword will pierce through your own soul also. Here he's talking to Mary, and the vast majority of scholars believe, of course, that this will occur when Jesus suffers for the sins of the world in being arrested, unjustly tried, whipped, and, of course, crucified. And that's what he also has received from the Holy Spirit.
Then there is the prophetess Anna. This is an elderly woman. She is a widow of many years. And then all we're told is that she did not depart from the temple after she had seen this Christ child, worshiping and fasting with prayer and night, and coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. What's Luke telling us there?
The redemption of Jerusalem, of course, would refer to not that Jerusalem will be taken out of Roman hands and Israel will be restored to its earlier purification, but it's talking about the redemption of people from their sins. In fact, Simeon is referred to as a just man, and we know that no one is just, and so taking a look at that word, it really means that he is justified by God. So the way that the Old Testament people were saved is not that they believed in Jesus, but they believed that he was coming. And they believed the promises begun with Adam and Eve, also to Abraham, that the Messiah would come through Judah and through David, and that he would be coming to restore people to that former peace, freedom, and grandeur that they had experienced in the Garden of Eden. And for the Christian today, that occurs in your baptism, where you are given both the gift of the remission of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit, which means you are dressed in the robe of righteousness. And right now, Christians here on earth are regarded by God as righteous and sinless.
So finally, with only about 30 seconds here, Tom, how would you summarize the message for the kids in the Sunday school room?
What the children need to realize is that even as an infant, it was seen that Jesus obeyed the laws. Now, children today don't have ceremonial laws, but our parents are actually arms of God in bringing us up. The father of the church, the pastor, and worship service is also a way in God continues to bring us up. So both in the temporal and in the spiritual realm, God has placed individuals to whom we are to listen, and particularly in the church, to hear the wonderful word of God of the forgiveness of sins, the robe of righteousness, and heaven as our home.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. You can find out more about Law and Gospel at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Next week, Pastor Baker will lead us in a Sunday school lesson on the visit of the wise men. Tom, thanks for being our guest.
And thank you.
You know, college students are headed back to the campus after their Christmas break, and it is vitally important that they remain connected to Jesus. That is, to a solid pulpit, altar, and font where Jesus is proclaimed and administered according to his sacraments, and to vital Lutheran resources. LCMSU is part of that chain of resources for your college or your university student, your kid or your grandkid. Find out more about LCMSU, connecting your college students to solid Lutheran pastors and solid Lutheran congregations and resources, lcms.org/LCMSU. That's lcms.org/LCMSU. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll discuss demon possession and spiritual warfare in America. Dr. Robert Bennett, author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Afraid, will be our guest. We're also going to look forward to Sunday morning. According to the three-year lectionary, Dr. Carl Fikencher will be our guest. Already at his birth, Jesus is fulfilling the law. Already there as an infant, he is there not only as the author, but as the one who keeps the law perfectly in our stead. This is, in fact, how he is the salvation that Simeon recognizes, how he is the redemption not only of Jerusalem, but of the whole world, as aged Anna recognizes. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.